Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I am Jeff Gamet, your interim host. And I'd like to point out that once again, we are on the American Tech Network today with special guest from the EU. Patrice, how are you?
You mean from the 51st state, right?
From the 51st state. Yes.
I'm fine. I'm good. I'm just, I think, very overtired today. So, like, this is a Brett Tepster reference, if you get it. I'm overtired.
You know, I miss Brett.
Me too. He hasn't been on for a little while. I mean, since he has a day job, it's probably hard for him.
That's my assumption. Yep. And yet, we have a new person on the show today who has a day job and still is able to make it. Dave, how are you?
Doing great. Thought it'd be fun to come on to another show here on the network and see what's up. And I had a little bit extra time this afternoon, so here I am. Thanks for having me.
It's great that you're here. And for those of you that don't know Dave already, he is a regular on the Mac Show on Fridays. Mm-hmm. So yeah. This is like a crossover episode.
Oh, yes. Yeah, in-universe crossover.
An in-universe crossover. Yep. Yep. Yes, Ewan is not with us today because, as usual, his growing commercial empire is, well, it's still growing. So go, mm-hmm. Ewan. And also a little shout out to Mueller. He is at the doctor's right now, getting stuff taken care of. Hope everything's okay, because it just wouldn't be right to not have you around so that we can all take the piss with each other.
Exactly.
Yep. excuse me. Before we jump into stories, also, just because I can do it, thanks everyone for supporting the Daily News Show and keeping that show alive. All of you absolutely rock. So let's just keep it alive forever. Well, we're here on what kind of feels like a slow news week. So I can't wait to see what we have for stories. And Dave, since this is new for you, I'm not going to put you on the spot. Typically what happens is I say, hey, who has the first story? And then we just see. But instead I'll say, hey, Patrice, what's your story?
Let's start with a space story. A little bit like... I don't know what to call it. Like, it's a little bit yucky. The space station is having some toilet problems.
This is my second story. I am not kidding.
That is funny. Yeah, they're having some, or I should say it's not the space station. It's actually the Crew Dragon. The space station, I think, is mostly fine, but the Crew Dragon has some toilet problems. Yeah. They're having to switch to, let's say, alternative undercard. What do they call it? Backup undercard.
Yeah, I was going to say it's their backup system.
Yes.
Or their depends.
That issue has been around for a little while. I think they fixed it now on the third dragon or something, I think. I think they fixed it recently, but it's not everywhere fixed. Yeah. The problem is basically it is leaking, which if you think about all the electronics around and all of that and the like just the forces that are like at work there when they re-enter and all of that.
You don't and the want temperatures that big, often. That big no. pea glob just flying around the cabin.
No, or the cabin or any other place, to be honest. Like, right. I mean, SpaceX is saying it's fine. Like, they don't think it's going to cause any issues. So it's not like a life-threatening thing or they think, oh, this might actually, like, cause some issues somewhere. But I don't, like, I mean, the potential is there.
Of course it is. Yeah. One of the previous flights, when they found that one of the hoses had just like physically come loose from its fitting, it had been dumping pee underneath one of the floor areas. And so, you know, it wasn't even like any of it was being captured anywhere else. It was just going under the floor. And so they had to clean up all of that. And cleaning up a puddle in space in zero G isn't actually cleaning a puddle. It's cleaning big globules that are floating around. So,
That, by the way, that is exactly that issue. That hose that goes to the tank somehow got loose, but it's built. So,
what is LMS thinking?
Exactly.
You know, all it takes is a trip down to Checker Auto Parts for a 75-cent O clamp. Put that around there. Screw it up. Done.
Yeah, I think that's what they ultimately did. They just welded it. Like, I think that's how they fixed it. But I said, like, it's that was the, I think, the Crew Dragon 4 where they did that. But the others that are still in service, they have the same problem because it's just kind of the same design. So as I said, it's not bad for the space station. I mean, the space station has also had some problems here and there with their toilets, but they have the space station still. So for now it's fine, but I mean, once they return and so on, they can't go.
You know, going into space is really difficult. And I find it fascinating that some of the most difficult things about spaceflight are not the things that you initially think would be difficult.
Yeah.
You know, because you're thinking about, well, how do we get enough velocity to get out of the atmosphere? How do we safely return a spacecraft to Earth?
All the math and like.
Yeah. I mean, there's all of that. But one of the big problems is, how do you pee in space?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually super, super true. I don't think so. No, I mean, that's super true. I mean, that was something even back in the Apollo days that they had to figure out. Like the first couple of flights, I mean, they were going up and coming down. Like, it's usually you can hold it for that longer. Usually you go before. So it's not a big issue. And I mean, as I said, worst case, you like wear a diaper. But like, once you go to the moon and back, that's a long enough trip that you have to really think about that. Yeah.
and it's not like you can just step outside the ship and pee.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit of a problem. So they had to figure it out. And then, I mean, later when they introduced women to like to astronaut corps, they had to figure it out again because like everything was designed for men. So it's an ongoing issue. I mean, the new spacesuits SpaceX had to design or did design. Pretty sure that was a big consideration. Like, how does that work?
I hope they took that into consideration.
Yeah, otherwise we will have another problem.
Right. Yeah. John Glenn's first suborbital flight, they did not take any of that into consideration. And so they had launch delays while he was in the capsule. And it went long enough that he had to pee and they didn't know what to do. So finally,
you can't just get out.
Right. Yeah. He couldn't just get out. So finally, you know, the doctors and scientists, they were running all this data and they're like, pee in the suit. And he did. And of course it set off all these sensors in the suit. But he sat on the launch pad, peed, filled his pressure suit. Then they launched him up and brought him down, and the suit was filled with pee the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine that. Yeah, having to sit in that for like hours and hours and hours. Pretty sure he took the first thing he did was take a shower. Like a really long one.
I bet.
So, Dave, you totally picked the right episode.
I tell you.
Yeah, totally.
So it's totally. The bathroom functions in space. Yep. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm known for bringing space stories. So that was kind of the only one right now. It's not too much that's going on. Yep. Everything else is either delayed or, not that interesting.
the other space story that's out there right now is Jeff Bezos lost his legal fight against SpaceX. Wait.
Well, against the government, technically, because the government gave the contract to SpaceX only.
Right. And that's for lunar landers.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost. I mean, it doesn't mean that it's the end. Like, you know,
I wonder if their toilet worked reliably.
I wonder. Is it Bezos or Bezos? That was Bezos.
I don't know.
I
know Bozo. His name, right? That's a different one.
No, Bozo, yeah.
That's a different one. That's a different
Bozo,
guy.
Bozo, that's big here.
Yeah. So, anyhow, yeah, space travel's hard.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I have another story if we want. Let's talk about... I actually have two stories that are closely related. There were two, 5G equipment stories to this, I think today or yesterday. So there's one about, I would say expected after all the discussions that the ISPs in the US, I think also probably in other countries, have started destroying Huawei equipment.
Yeah.
After the ban, what do you do with that? Like, you're not going to sell it to your best friends and hope that it's fine.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So I think the government is paying for that, if I remember correctly, because it's it was a legal order that they can't use Huawei products anymore because of national security. Is that makes sense? But they've started destroying equipment now. So I hope they can salvage chips somehow, or at least the materials, so that we have a chip shortage. You can reuse that.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping, is that they can at least salvage mm-hmm. raw materials out of this. I'm assuming that no one would want to reuse any of the chips, because part of the reason, the reason that their products are being banned is because of potential spying. Mm-hmm. And that means any chip inside any of these Huawei devices is a potential spy mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's no proof that it's true, but it's also hard to prove it's not.
Yeah.
By the way, the program, I just read the story, the program, the subsidy is for small carriers, in rural areas, if they have less than 10 million customers, they can basically apply for a subsidy when they go out and remove the equipment.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
So they can start applying mid-January next year, and then you have to destroy it. So there's that story. It wasn't a long story, but I found it.
I have a story.
Okay, sure.
As long as you're doing stories.
Yeah. Might as well, right?
Right. Okay, so here's my story. Rivian, which, by the way, is a car maker that Mueller is totally infatuated with.
Mm-hmm. Not just him. There are a lot of people.
But he's not here to defend himself, so we're calling out Mueller. They had to release a bunch of documentation for an IPO that they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the pieces of information that came out of that was that Amazon is actually a 20% stakeholder in the company.
I'm not sure that's all that surprising. Mm-mm. Because Amazon has bought the electric delivery trucks that they're buying or testing, I think, even already.
Yeah.
I think those are
They have several that are due before the end of this year. And and then what is it, 1,000 or something more?
Something
that's whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Amazon having a stake in them doesn't surprise me.
Oh, yeah. It says in here, in September 2019, Rivian entered into an agreement with Amazon to produce 100,000 electric delivery vans.
100,000.
So the rest they will deliver next year. next year's, maybe.
Probably next year's, because I mean, that's a lot of vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about like how long it took Tesla to even get to that level and all the issues they had to do that.
Yeah. Oh, Tesla. So, yeah, this makes sense. It does also give me this little bit of curiosity about whether or not Amazon has plans for electric vehicles that go beyond what they need for their own uses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, will there be an A-Lady car? I don't think so.
No.
I mean, given that basically every other major company seems to be in that market, I mean, Apple is rumored or like almost, to some extent even confirmed to do that. Google, we know, with Waymo. I think Microsoft probably doing something as well. Like, I mean, it's
it seems like everybody's getting in the EV market these days. Yeah. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, who will be next? A car off Amazon Prime, have it delivered the next day.
Same day.
Hidden behind the bushes next to your porch.
Just like we've been waiting for Apple for years. EV.
and it comes like in a big box, but the box is ripped in multiple places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. I'm kind of wondering like who's next. I mean, like, I don't know, Pepsi or Coca-Cola, maybe? Like, who could be next?
They could have an EV and it's fueled by Pepsi or Coke.
Yeah, like who's next?
I don't know if I want a Coke mobile.
I have a Wiener mobile.
Oh, the Pope mobile, a Coke mobile.
Well, okay, Wiener mobile, totally different. How can you not want a Wiener mobile?
Yeah, Oscar Mayer Wiener mobile. They're still out there.
There was someone that owned one here for years, and I remember when we'd go driving up into the mountains, like up outside Evergreen, Colorado, we'd see this Wienermobile driving on the highways in the mountains. And, you know, on one hand, that it's just so surreal to think that you could be up in the mountains and then here comes a Wienermobile. But at the same time, we kind of grew up with it. And that was just a normal thing. And I didn't realize until much later that seeing a Wienermobile driving around in the mountains was actually not normal.
No.
So now I kind of want to get a Wienermobile.
maybe that's next. And then McDonald's, Burger King do like Burger Mobiles. Like, they have all kinds of weird EVs. Why not?
Yeah, I need a McPickup, please. With the extended bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get like a year's supply of burgers with that.
Mm-hmm. And now they can run the grease traps out. Now it's not an EV car anymore. But, did figure out how to take the waste grease from fast food and turn it into fuel for gasoline engines for cars.
Yeah, I mean, diesel engines have been like... That has been a thing for, I think, 20 years. Probably longer. I just remember it forever. Like, there was a shortage in, like, used fat and like for a little while in Germany because, like, everybody was doing it.
Used fat? It was
funny. It was, like, funny. Like, you would drive down, like, the highway and it would smell like French fries somewhere. It's like, oh, there must be a car around here. That was a thing for a little while.
That's actually
really especially the really old, I think the old diesel engines, like the newer ones, they were too modern and too like finicky. But like the old diesel engines, that ran just fine. You had to filter it, obviously. Like, don't just take the fat and put it in your car. Like, that's not gonna work. That's gonna cause issues. But like, people just got it, filtered it, and then used it. Mm. So, I said, like, I want to say 20 years ago, probably longer.
So, Dave, are you still glad that you're here today?
I mean, we've talked about space toilets and,
and running your car on French fries.
On French fries, yeah. McDonald's. Oh, the McDonald's, the grease that McDonald's saves. So you can use that.
Yeah, I think we have our show title.
Yes. The grease McDonald's uses.
Running your car on French fries.
Okay, so another story that I have is about Elon Musk finding yet another way to provide poor customer service and screw over his potential clients or customers. Mm-hmm. And it's through Starlink this time. And the deal is that when you're on the Starlink website and you figure out your eligibility and it shows on the map where you are, if it tags your location for your installation, you know, wherever you are on the list, mm-hmm. if it tags that location wrong, like it shows installation happens at the end of your driveway as opposed to at your house, mm-hmm. you can move that location so that it's actually accurate. And it's a feature of their map. The problem is when you fix the location so it's actually at your house and not in the middle of your yard or out on the sidewalk or whatever, it then bumps you to the bottom of the installation list. So you lose your place in line, and people mm-hmm. that were expecting to have Starlink, you know, this coming spring. Well, now they're finding that it might be 2023 before mm-hmm. before they get service. Yeah. And so now people are all pissed off. And it turns out there is no fix for this. So at least for now, all these people that were high on the list and fixed their location so it was accurate are now screwed.
Crazy.
Typical Musk thing. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they're going to fix it eventually, but
that's not going to do any good for all the people right now, I think. Yeah.
I mean, I know someone who has here in Austria, Starlink, is super happy with it. I mean, he used to get I think it was a 2 Mbit DSL line, through the woods. But he has a farm basically in the middle of nowhere. So they had like a line that was I think they just put it up on trees or something.
Yeah, I was thinking, what, they just staple it to the trees?
Yeah, something like that. And it was 2 Mbit on a good day. And if there was a thunderstorm, he basically had to disconnect everything because he didn't know.
Well, right.
He fried a couple of times his equipment. So.
Yeah, that becomes a potential lightning rod.
Yeah. Yeah, and now he has, he got Starlink, and he's getting, a good, 200 down and whatever, 40, 50 up.
That's really nice.
I mean, he's on a farm in the middle of, on a mountain. So, perfect conditions. The next neighbor is, 15 minutes away.
That's pretty good speeds for being in the rural area. Yeah.
That's better than I get here in the middle of Boulder.
Yeah.
I tell you, I get 1 gig here, so.
Wow. Yeah, I get 300.
Man, you know, now my perspective is changing and I'm suddenly feeling lucky that I have indoor plumbing.
You don't have to wear special undergarments?
I do not have to wear special undergarments. I don't have to wear space diapers in my apartment, no. I mean, I can if I want to. That's totally a personal choice. But I don't have to. I'm sorry, Dave. I'm
so sorry. We're sorry. I'll put another story in that is related to yours. Switching it up a little bit. Charging infrastructure in the US is ahead of the forecast. I think the goal was to do 500,000 or have 500,000 charging stations by 2030. Mm-hmm. And just, I think, a couple months ago, crossed 100,000.
So nice.
Well ahead of the plan.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean,
that's awesome.
If you look at the map, if you look at the map, sure, there are blind spots a lot in the rural areas, but it's getting pretty crowded.
You know, of course, I immediately look at Colorado on that map.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I am surprised at how much coverage there is in Colorado, because we have massive open areas mm-hmm. where it's, you know, it's just mountains. Yeah. And yet the state is almost completely blanketed. The parts of the state that aren't totally make sense.
And rural, more rural areas.
Yeah, it's, yeah, well, for sure. I mean, where there's like nobody around.
Are covered, but yeah, I mean, like that southeast corner of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I know Lamar is down there, but other than that, it's, I mean, there's basically nothing down in that corner.
Yeah, I mean, in Arizona, you can see it as well. Like there's the central corridor, which is like the Flagstaff, Phoenix, Tucson corridor, and like nothing else.
Yeah. Oh, and you can see where I-70 goes out of Colorado and into Kansas. Because mm-hmm. it's just that line of dots going right into mm-hmm. Kansas.
Yeah, super, super interesting. Yeah, I mean, but as I said, like, people were saying, oh, there's no charging infrastructure and we're never going to get it. And like, who would build it? Yeah.
Doesn't even look like there's a lot in Vegas, which we're looking at there.
Yes.
Vegas at least seems light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we have, I mean, for sure, like California and so on, like they're well covered.
East Coast
is like blanketed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, we can tell where most of the cars are.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Wow. So as I said, it's on track. I mean, for sure, still a lot to do, but it's getting there.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dave, we've just been assuming you didn't have any stories. And I don't want you to feel left out. Oh, okay, good. Just wanted to make sure that we weren't leaving you out.
No, I'm jumping in as I get go here.
Yeah. And for all of you that are seeing this as the very first episode of the big show that you've ever seen, don't worry, they're not all like this. There are some where
it's even worse.
It's even worse. I mean, we've hit a bunch of stories already and we've gone through them pretty quickly, which seems appropriate for what the stories are. So go us. And yeah, it's just kind of a slow news thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's like Google enforcing two-factor authentication. There is like some weird tech preview from Microsoft about 3D workspaces. Or like,
Yahoo is leaving China now.
Yeah.
And okay, so the big story there is, wait, Yahoo was still doing something?
Exactly. Yahoo has business?
Yeah.
That is the surprise.
Yep. I mean,
don't they still own, what's the photo sharing site?
Flickr.
Flickr, yeah. Don't they still own that?
Smug owns it now.
Ah, true, yeah.
Oh,
so okay. What do they even have? Like, they sold that?
Nothing.
So
what's left? Verizon dumped them.
I mean, they've been using Bing as their back end for a mm-hmm. search engine.
Yeah, so they don't even have a search engine anymore. Yeah. What does Yahoo do?
It leaves China, apparently. That's what it does. I don't know.
Okay. Maybe they went to China so that they can have a story that they left China.
And continue to have easily hackable email accounts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Of course. Yeah.
I mean, that's probably a feature at this point. Like, hey, come to us. We have easily hackable email accounts. Like, if you want the world to know what you're writing,
give us. Yahoo. They own some media companies still. So they own Engadget and TechCrunch. They own some others, but those are the two.
Yeah, but I mean, those are also like not made not massive.
Spun. Right. They were spun off from Verizon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so. I mean that I'm pretty sure that's not making massive amounts of money. So sad. What is Yahoo doing?
Seriously.
Yeah. Still haven't figured out what they were for years what they were doing.
Well, to be yeah, fair, maybe I don't think
maybe that's what they're out either. Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's what they're doing. Like they're literally people sitting in offices and trying to figure out what they're even supposed
Yahoo's
to do.
It's just a skunk works to figure out what Yahoo is.
Yeah, exactly.
How meta.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Meta.
Anyhow. Well, I'm okay with us having a shorter show today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with it. I'm going to thank our sponsors like TSO Hosts for being here, allowing us to provide you with this questionably valuable content and every single week. Seriously, without TSO Hosts, we would not be on the air for good or ill. And they're providing us the bandwidth we need to stream shows live. They're providing us the server space that we need so that we can have files waiting for you so that you can watch or listen at your leisure. And they're just absolutely awesome. They upgraded our servers for us. And thanks to Patrice, that was a nice, smooth process. And it's just been a wonderful experience having them supporting us. They do offer domain name and hosting services. So if you need to buy domains or you need some hosting, hit them up. They will be happy to help you out. And if you use the discount code BTN20, they will give you a nice discount on those services as well. So they are wonderfully generous and we appreciate that. Now, what they would love from us is for us to all go out on social media and give them a shout out and let them know that we appreciate that TSO Host is sponsoring and supporting the British Tech Network. So hit your favorite social media. That could be Twitter, that could be Facebook, I don't care. Whichever your favorite social media is, go out and give TSO Host a shout out. And thank you to TSO Host for being our sponsor. Also, iMend Max sponsors us. And we love that because this is the company that responsibly repairs your Apple gear for you. If you have, let's use a hypothetical situation. Let's say I have an iPad that has a battery that's dying and that battery needs to be replaced. Well, I can take it to any authorized Apple service center or just anywhere if I want to be especially crazy and brave. And let them put a new battery in for me. But what I'd rather do is go to iMend Max because they have like the best people and they handle all their repairs environmentally responsibly. So what that means is that if you have something that needs to be replaced on your computer, then they'll replace that part. They won't just throw out your logic board, hope that fixes the problem and put a new one in. So the end result is there's less tech waste going into landfills because of iMend Max. And that's absolutely awesome. They also can sell you Macs and iPads and all kinds of Apple gear. They lease equipment as well. So they've totally got you covered. They do data recovery. And if they can't actually recover any data from your device, they're not going to charge you for the privilege of losing all your data. They charge you for data recovery when they actually recover data. So they're fantastic and they're awesome. And we love them too. So thank you to iMend Max for sponsoring us. Mention you're a BTN fan and they'll give you a discount too. And also a shout out to everyone that has been sending in money to keep the Daily News Show alive. We totally appreciate that. Like seriously, we love you for doing that. So thank you and keep that up because we need to have ongoing funds to make sure that Kyle can get paid so that the show can keep going. And we've already passed that 13-year mark, which is amazing. And we'd love to be talking about how awesome the show is 13 years from now as well. So thanks to all of you. You absolutely rock. And Patrice, where can people find the chat?
Well, if they want to join us live while we're recording, which is 8 p.m. UK time every week on Thursday, that's the big show, like today, and 4 p.m. UK time every week for the Mac show on a Friday. They can head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and then talk to us live. Today, I don't know, the chat is pretty silent, so a little bit sad.
Well, we're also in the middle of time change, which
yeah,
clearly probably messes up a lot of people, including me.
Yeah, yep. That's for sure. Me too. Me too. Like, that's one of the reasons I'm overtired this week. Yeah, if you're listening to this after the fact, which is totally fine. Like, if you're working or like, you just enjoy listening to podcasts on your own time. You can still see what we talked about, see the chat, see all the links. Like, we put in all the stories that we talked about today and our cool things in a few minutes. We'll end up in there too. And if you want to see that, then head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then navigate to the 4th of November, 2021.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrice. And you mentioned the cool things. So I think it's time to do that. Mm-hmm. Patrice, do you have a cool thing today?
I do. I had to scramble because I forgot what I wanted to pick. So I had to do that. But I found the link. So this is something I bought about a month ago. Have not talked about it. It's a Satechi 108 watt USB-C charger, like one of those charging bricks with like multiple ports. And I was just looking for something. I had one from Anker, I think. And that one was, I mean, they're great, like great products, but it was a little bit weak. I wanted something that could power my MacBook Pro or my iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. And really charge it and not just like kind of sort of run it, but not really charge it. So I wanted something that had at least one port with 100 watts, and that charger and is available here, which is a problem. Like, there's like RAV Power and so on, some companies that do really nice charger, but they're not available here. But this one is. So I got that one. It has two USB-C ports. One is actually, it's not 100 watts, it's like, I think 90 watts. One is 90 watts, one is 18 watts. So kind of one for the iPad or Mac and one for the iPhone. And then it has two standard, like I think also like, I don't remember, like 20 watts or something, USB-A ports still for your old devices, like whatever your Apple Watch charger or whatever else you have. So I got that one. It's like $80, so it's not crazy expensive.
Nice.
108 watts. Yeah.
They make good stuff, Satechi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. I found them in reviews, like a lot of reviews mentioned them and they said it was available. So got that one.
Cool. Dave, any chance you had time to come up with a cool thing for today?
I did. Awesome. I haven't bought this yet, but this just came out from 12 South. It's the action band for the Apple Watch. It's actually like a little band that fits right on your wrist, and you take your Apple Watch out of your band and put it into this, and you can work out with it. I thought it was really cool, and like having, like, you know, everybody wears the workout bands on their wrists, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing with this, but your Apple Watch will fit right in there, snaps in place, and do your workout, and they don't have to worry about your Apple Watch band at all. And it's only $29.99, I think it is. It's cheap.
That's really cool, and. And if you join their mailing list, you get a 12%
discount. Yeah.
If you're a first-time subscriber. Oh, that's very cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. And my cool thing is an app today. It's called Tab Finder. So this is for Mac users. And if you are someone that has like a metric truckload of tabs open, in so like browser me? All the time. Yeah, you know, hypothetically, like Patrice, like me.
Totally hypothetical.
It can be difficult, regardless of whatever tab management system you're using in your web browser, to find the tab you want and just keep track of all the tabs you have. That's where Tab Finder comes in. So it kind of links up to your browser, but it's its own app. And then it just keeps track of all the tabs. So you can just see this big long list of everything you have opened, but you can search. So if you know you have a tab that's related to whatever you type in, and then it can find that for you and help you locate whichever tab it is that you actually need. So it's a cool and handy little app. And I wish I could tell you how much it costs, but it's available on SetApp. So I don't know.
It's $9.99, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Okay, $9.99 and also available on SetApp.
Nice.
And it's seriously a handy little app. And I didn't think that it would be that useful to me because I'm already using Workona in mm-hmm. Edge. And Workona is like crazy powerful. It does so much for me. But I found that there's still times where I can't keep track of where I have a tab open. Like maybe I have some extra windows with additional tabs open mm-hmm. that, and they're just not part of any of my Workona groups. Well, now I've solved that problem. So Tab Finder, awesome little tool.
Very nice. Yeah, I've switched to Safari. What are they called? I forgot. The tab groups.
Oh yes.
And that has solved that problem to some extent. So, but it's, yeah, useful. Like sometimes I have no idea where a tab is.
Same, even with Workona, I can still mm-hmm. have that problem. Yep. Yep. But Tab Finder, there you go. And since Patrice. Nice. You have set up, problem solved.
Yep, done. Thanks. Already downloading.
Got your back.
Me too.
Got your back. wow. Okay. So we had an absolutely awesome show. I'd say we stayed on the rails, but we chose not to even go to the train station today. So there were no rails near us. It was just a random potpourri of technology content for you today. And with that, wow, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Big Show every Thursday and also on the Mac Show on Friday with David and Jeff and Chuck and some other lovely people. Usually Columbus there. Everything I'm doing, like all the podcasts and like projects and social media links and whatnot, you can find all of that on thepatrice.com. Redirects to my website. And if you want to listen to me talk to interesting people about food and just food related memories and stories and all of that, then head over to foodieflashback.com and you can listen to that.
Awesome. Awesome. And Dave, thanks again for jumping in and being part of the panel definitely. Today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's fun, even when it's weird. It's still fun.
It was a little weird, but I'll have to give you that.
you are far too kind.
Yes. You can find me on my podcast, In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com. I also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/DaveG65. I'm on the Mac Show tomorrow, and as every Friday, and I'm on Twitter, DaveG65. Thanks again.
And thanks again for joining us. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamut on both. YouTube.com/JayGamut for my videos. Tuesdays, Mac Voices Live most weeks. And Thursdays.
YouTube. I forgot to mention that.
Yep. Thursdays on the Big Show, Fridays on the Mac Show. A lot of Thursday evenings on In Touch with iOS. So thanks for that, Dave. And I think it was last week I did Apple Context Machine and In a Few Minutes with Mac OS Ken. I kind of get around. Another thing, I am helping manage a new meetup group, new-ish meetup group for, God, I hate when I forget words for tools that I use all the time. Zapier. Wow.
Nice.
Okay, so it's 2 p.m. and I haven't had lunch yet. That's my excuse. Anyhow, so yeah, zap your meetup groups. So I'll let people know in the BTN Slack when those meetings are coming up, you know, in case you're into using Zapier for automation. And so let's see, we've done all the normal stuff. Which means we're up to the point now where I should say thank you to TSO Host for being our sponsor, and go and hit social media and let them know that you appreciate that they are here for us, and use the discount code BTN20 for a discount on their services. Thank you to Iman Max for being our sponsor. Mention us when you're using any of their services or buying anything from them. And they'll give you a little discount as well. If you happen to go into the shop, and as long as everyone is practicing COVID safe procedures, give Callum a hug for me and hold it just a little too long. And thanks to everyone that's still sponsoring the Daily News Show. We appreciate that. All of you are making that show stay alive. You absolutely rock. Thank you, Patrice and Dave, for being here and taking what could have been a non-show and turning it into a wild romp down technology lane. And thank you to everyone that's tuning in and watching live. You all rock. Thanks to everyone that watches or listens later on. You are absolutely awesome as well. Everyone have an awesome weekend. And don't forget, the Mac show is tomorrow. So come back for that. And we'll see you then.